suck it.
You suck it.
You suck, home plate. You know that's right. It's episode 5, season 6 of this podcast, and of Psych, and it starts, well, right about now.
I've heard it both ways.
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 And welcome back to I've Heard It Both Ways. I'm your friendly neighborhood backcracker, Dr. Joe. And joining me, as always, riding shotgun in the blueberry, is the bicep curling, muscle shirt wearing, pec clapping, woo, protein drinking, squat thrusting, greedy popping, son of a gun. He's having a hard time keeping those alligators down. Woo, Billy, my guy. How's it going?
And his name is me.
And his name is me, yeah.
Me. That was awesome.
Going pretty good. Getting the old gallbladder out tomorrow. So it's right to bed after this to rest up.
No more fatty foods for you, Billy.
He said I'll be eating food like nobody's business in about a week.
Oh, so. Yeah, but you can't be, you know, the no gallbladder. You won't be able to digest all that fried stuff.
Hey, he told me I can eat whatever I want forever.
Ooh, I like that. That's a good doc right there. That's a good doc. Gallbladder be damned. You fucking shovel down them fried clamps.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're all rooting for you, Billy. We're hoping for a quick recovery, you know. Who needs a fucking gallbladder anyways, right?
Not this guy.
Not that guy. That's for damn sure. But we're not here to talk about the human anatomy unless, you know, we're talking. Well, I won't go there.
Yeah.
We're here to talk about Psych, Season 6, Episode 5, Dead Man's Curveball. And before we get into any of this, William, cue the sounder, baby.
Usually starts with a holla and ends with a creamsicle. And then if there's time in between, Thundercats. Ho!
Ho! My voice just cracked like a preteen. Jesus Christ. Oh, man. That's the second time it's happened to me this week. Well, desperate need of some time off there, William.
Just to get officially into it. He's wearing the holla, son.
Yeah, well, so... Dead Man's Curveball, episode 5 of season 6, Billy. Quick synopsis here. Sean and Gus investigate the death of a baseball coach for the minor league. Again, it's second week in a row they've given a shit synopsis here. Mm-hmm. Poorly worded synopsis. Sean says the way to do it is to become part of the team. I got to get on the inside.
Like he did with the football team.
Yeah, and Gus becomes the mascot. Better out of the two sports, getting on the inside episodes, this one is better.
I actually, you know what? I really do like this one better, and it was way better than I remembered. It was hilarious at points. Like, it was really, really funny.
So this is an interesting episode because I've always sort of enjoyed it. It's always been one of Megan's favorites just because, and we'll get to it, she just loves the scene when he's first jacked up on greenies and he hears a bird call and he just grabs binoculars and looks like in the middle of what he's doing. What this episode has is it's got some great bits of just good physical comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's weird because it's definitely got some really good funny moments, but it's not the mile a minute jokes. It's not the mile a minute references. Mm-hmm. But the story overall is really good, except for one little gripe I have at the end. But the humor was very well placed. This was one of Henry's best episodes. And it was a great Gus episode, too.
I didn't really like Henry in this episode, to be honest with you. I thought it was a little bit overdone, but you're basically Henry anyways.
So. I am. I have become Henry and I are one. Little, you know, throw the counter up there, Billy, peek behind the curtain. Henry may or may not be my my favorite character of the episode.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. For reasons I'll get into, because I just think it was like we don't see Henry acting as a petulant child too often. And he does it really well. But that is neither here nor there. At the moment, we wanted to sort of dive in a little bit to our quick thoughts of the episode. Like we said, I definitely have always sort of enjoyed this episode. It's not too high, it's not too low. It's like where in that meaty part of the curve, Billy, that we so often like, and where a lot of these episodes and these seasons kind of fall. Like, you've got, I just smack my mic, you got a few episodes that really stand out, You got a few episodes that fall just a bit outside, and then you got those episodes that are the meat and the potatoes. And this is right there at the forefront for me.
Did you notice the new banner as well?
Oh, meaty part of the curve counter, baby! Yeah.
So we got two counters going already. But yeah, I mean, watching it back a couple of times this week, the comedy is definitely better than I remembered it. And the opening scenes, like the both of them, and the repetition of the "go get him, Cal, go get him, Cal," like that will always be funny to me. Echo.
Yeah, yeah. There's like, I think the comedy in this episode is a lot more subtle than we're used to getting, you know, with Psych, because it's little things like that, like little bits of repetition. From the cold open there, where Gus offers him part of his creamsicle, and then he goes, and then he just eats the whole thing on him. Like, it's like little things like that, which is great. And then the back and forth between Henry the Yump and Sean, we'll get to that in a second, I thought always makes me laugh. But I thought the plot to this episode was really good. I thought, you know, it got a little, just a little out of hand at the end. But until that point, like, being sports fans, you know, like, it's very believable, the plot of this episode, very based in reality there. What I thought they did really well, too, was that they presented you a number of suspects, mm-hmm. all of which were believable.
Yes. The only thing I didn't like, and this was my gripe, maybe it's yours, we can just get it out of the way now, that it was a single A team.
Yeah.
Nobody's going all the way down to single A. Just say it's a triple A team. That makes no sense.
And you're not going from single A to the bigs like that.
No.
Right. Not, I mean, especially a veteran. A veteran, no doubt, is going to single A. A veteran is getting released. He's getting put on waivers. And if no one picks him up, he's going to play golf.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. But no, my gripe was with the bad guy scene there at the end, but
we'll get to that when we cross.
We'll get to that. Like I said, it wasn't like a mile a minute with the laughs, but I just thought it was very consistent. It had a very good batting average, Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any thoughts before we dive into, some of the, guest stars, directors, writers, all that fun stuff?
Let's get to him. Mel Damsky, Spelling Bee, Forget Me Not, Psych vs. Psych, Dislodge, Black and Tan. He has a lot of good ones here. High Newness, Shot in the Dark. Let's see what else we got here. Santa Barbara Part 2. So this guy really, you know, someone's got a Woody. Not one of my favorite episodes, even though it's a Woody-centric episode, but it's got some good stuff in there. So this guy's done a lot. Steve Franks, Bill Callahan, probably two of the heavier hitters in the Psych writing department. So it's got the Psych touches all over it, not a quintessential Psych episode, I would say, but when you're going a little bit outside of the box, you know.
I just noticed here he did Any Given Friday Night, right? So that he did the, he's done,
so
the
they tagged him in for right? Yeah, the sports stuff.
And he also did Amazing Psych Man, which we talked about last time, and neither of us cared for all that much. So he's very, I would say he's very back endish of the meaty part of the curve, if you will, for his resume there. But there's some great ones in there. Like, we love Black and Tan. I love Disco Didn't Die. Mm-hmm. You know, Evening with Mr. Yang. Like, there's some good ones in there. Feet Don't Fail Me Now. That's one of my favorites. So he's definitely got a smattering of good ones in there, and a couple of not. So Mel Damsky, standout guest star. We have two, one of which almost made my you know, character of the episode. But the first one, the big one, is Danny Glover, who
Danny
plays Coach
Effin Glover,
who plays Mel Hornsby. And Danny may or may not have mailed in his acting in this episode.
Getting too old for this stuff.
Yeah, but it's Danny Glover, right? You give him a pass because he's fantastic. My the favorite thing, the best line he had was, he goes, he had a large amount of amphetamines in his system, or Greeny, as we call him in the bigs. You're like, you fucking know what Greenies are, bro. You can just say
that's the other thing too. Like, no one's taking fucking actual Greenies. Just say he's taking like Adderall or something. Like,
yeah. Well, so the old thing is in the clubhouses, and this was up until they really started cracking down in the early aughts, mid aughts there. You know, they'd have the coffee makers, leaded and unleaded. Right. And the leaded one was the one full with all the amphetamines and all the goodies, and the and the unleaded ones were for all the fucking squares. But Danny Glover, and then we had Wade Boggs. I completely forgot Wade Boggs was.
I know, me too. He's hilarious in this episode
too. He was great. Hey, you're the guy who stole my belt.
And then, I was also a 12-time All-Star.
Yeah. Grilled or extra crispy? Are you kidding me?
Extra crispy. That is impressive. Yeah.
He was great. I completely forgot he was in this episode. So, like, again, like, he's only in it for like two scenes, maybe, but he was fantastic. So to get right into it here, the flashback scene. This is sort of similar to the football one where Little Shaw, just brazenly tells the quarterback, his tells, and that's why, other teams know how to pick him off. This one is a little bit different. We get young Sean, following in Cal Easton's footsteps or Easton's footsteps. And he's just sort of being Sean while this guy's trying to make it to the plate. It's wildly annoying, but also wildly hilarious at the same time.
Yeah, it's great. He does the little echo thing, and yeah, it's a nice little setup to get you acquainted that, Cal was the top prospect, even though he was in single A. And then my favorite scene maybe of the episode is we go to the softball field. And, dude, what he do? And he says, come on, Brenda, bring that weak sauce. That fucking killed me. I thought that was hilarious. Then he hits like a little what would you call that? A bleeder into, short it's right.
It's a Punch and Judy single, into the outfield that he tries to stretch.
He tries to literally home run it like he's playing the Red Sox.
Yeah. And I love this about Sean, because it's not that he's a bad softball player, but he thinks he's a great softball player. And, just like with Sean gets the yips.
Oh, one of my favorite episodes.
Right, and he's like, it could have been 10, Gus. It could have been 10, right? So, like, this whole opening scene here with Sean, because he gets thrown out at by home, and of course, the home plate umpire is Henry. And suck it, no, you suck it, suck home plate, right?
That's unbelievable.
but what's even better here, right, is I have this. This is one of my favorite things from the episode. I'm just gonna get right into it. So Henry calls Sean out at home. He's that's the worst call I've ever seen. What do you have, doll's eyes? Are you mocking me? No, I am stating a fact. I'm saying you need glasses. Last week you almost mistook me for Michael Chiklis. That's because you were dressed as Michael Chiklis. First of the month, Gus and I play the commish. You know that. Absolutely fantastic. That right there is psych comedy gold.
It was really good. I really enjoyed that, the back and forth between the two of them. I just didn't like Henry's ump voice because he stayed in it the whole time. It's kind of funny, I guess. Very old man.
That's because you were dressed as Michael Chiklis.
So stupid. But it was a really good scene. Then we get Mel coming over, dropping the case on them. His buddy died of amphetamines. And I also love this, that Sean's like, you want me to play shortstop? And then he rifles through the stuff and he goes, you want me to be the lefty reliever? You're right-handed.
Right. I'll make it work. I can make you my roving hitting instrument. What's a fucking roving hitting instructor?
I have heard that term before.
Have you?
I've heard roving hitting instructor before, other than this episode. I think it means they rove.
They Carl Rove. So we go from the softball field, bam, right to Seabird Stadium.
That was quick. I didn't mind that.
Yeah. And know what else I love too? This was a subtle thing. It happened two or three times where Sean would say the Seabirds, like for the team name. Where?
That sounds like the coolest job ever. No, the Seabirds team. Yeah. When he was like, that sounds like the coolest job ever. Yeah. Killed me.
Oh, why do I keep doing that? It was a great little thing. It was absolutely fantastic. But they get there, and so they make Gus the mascot, which is friggin' hilarious. I love the fact that the people love Gus as the mascot. When he's doing shit like the worm, and because he's got because there's either bugs in his costume or whatever, but there's one point where he tries to do actual dance moves. He's trying to tap and he's getting booed. And then the scene where he just fucking rifles the t-shirt gun right into that dude's chest. Absolutely fantastic. So they get there. We get introduced to Sean as the roving hitting instructor, which the entire team thinks he's the fucking towel boy, which again was another great gag. So not a lot really happened here other than just sort of, you know, little bits of some physical comedy here. But then, like, that was the other thing about this episode, too. It was paced really well. There was no pussy footing around. It was bang, 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 scene to scene, scene to scene. Let's move it along. So they get to Grady's house to do some investigating. And this is Megan's, you know, one of Megan's all time favorite scenes. And it was a really good one in the episode where there's a couple of things that happen here. Again, it's the physical comedy that really gets me here, where they go in there. And there's, oh, he's a very cultured man. He's there's you know,
Tito Jackson
with Tito Jackson.
That's Rod Carew.
And it's so obvious that it's Rod Carew. Hmm? And then there's like a bowl of like nuts or something on the thing. So Sean grabs one, eats one, and Gus goes, I think those are stale chickpeas. And the way he just immediately spits it out and the look on his face fucking kills me. I don't know, it's like it's little things like that that I just fucking find hilarious. But the best part about the scene was Sean taking a swig of the water ball to get the taste of stale chickpea out of his mouth, and it's laced with amphetamines, and Sean on Greenies is fucking hysterical.
It's great. He's going a mile a minute. He's doing all the classic tropes that somebody who's hopped up on something would be. And you're right, when he grabs the binoculars for the bird sound, it's fantastic.
Yeah, because I can't remember what he's doing right before that, but he hears a bird, and then he just picks him up, and without a hitch, just looks out the window. It's like a cuckoo, and bang. It's just, it's so funny. And like Gus, like, he's like, usually when people die with drugs in the system, generally they're the ones who put drugs in their system.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was, like, this whole scene, like, we get a lot of stuff here. We see, one thing that we do see is in front of the treadmill, why this guy's dead guy's TV is still on is beyond me. But the TV's playing. It's like he was watching, you know, a hitting session with one of the team's players. So, you know, I believe from here they go back to the station because they want to have the water ball tested, make sure it has Greenies on it. And again, Sean on Greenies here is fucking hilarious because the look on Henry's face when Gus tells him he's jacked up on a family, he's, oh no.
You remember as my the car, like, instruction manual on the way over.
Yeah.
Even Jules's reaction is like, what's wrong with Sean? Like, just very casually.
Yeah. He's ripping shups, you know, right on in the middle of the floor there. It was, and then he goes, Hey, old bald up. Right. You know, it was like just a lot of great callbacks here. This is part of this. So this is some of the great Henry stuff here, because Sean informs him, you know, that they've been asked to investigate this case, and he gets all pissed off. He's like, well, why wouldn't he ask me? I've been a season ticket holder for 20 years. You know,
sure,
like,
he appreciates that $20 you shell out.
Exactly. Right. Like, being a season ticket holder to a single A ball team is, you know, some sort of social status.
It is a commitment, though.
Well, it's a big commitment considering each of those games is like, you know, well, at least I'd hope single A wouldn't last more than 2 hours, but it's still baseball. But I just, I can love that. But we get a little clue here, where our first inkling of a potential suspect, and that is from the session that Grady had been watching. Sean picks up who's number 42. Oh, that's Izzy Jackson, the star player. So, maybe it wasn't a murder per se, right? It was an accidental. He grabbed the wrong water bottle.
Yeah, accidental death. They switched water bottles as he was leaving. That's what they theorize. So they try to get some DNA from what's his name there, Izzy Jackson. And the way they
Izzy
do
Jackson.
It is, it's pretty amazing. They
it's absolutely fantastic.
They head to the bar, and everybody is doing the whole, you know, towel boy. We also get a couple of cool details here of, you know, the wives and ball players like mingling as they're leaving the place.
That comes into play very hilariously later. But yeah, I love how they all call him towel boy. And but this was great. So Sean is not very subtle, and he's trying to be cool and coy with Izzy Jackson. Yeah. talking about, you know, greenies, and like you can tell me I'm one of the bros. This does not go well for Sean.
He has to get saved by Cal.
Yeah, this is where you get introduced to Cal Eason, and so he comes in and he's like, shots on me kind of thing, and Izzy's fucking pumped and jacked, but he starts doing the talking with his belly button thing, which was fucking hilarious. But this is where we get to the cow. And this is one of the things I like, because we get a little nugget here where, you know, Cal's like, he's now, this is a great callback from the cold open, because we saw him when he was Izzy Jackson of the team, and now he's, you know, he's the old guy. He's the, you know, name your aging ball player who's way past his prime, was just hanging around trying to get one last shot at the bigs. But he says something here. He says, man, I would do anything to get back to the majors, but I need to transition from catcher to first base. But that clown is in my way. Now, Sean idolizes this guy, right? So he's got a little bit of blinders on when it comes to Cal Eason, but I love this setup here because
you know, really quickly, one of my all-time favorite movies, Major League Two. Jake Taylor is the grizzled veteran just trying to get one last run, and he's being replaced by Rube Baker. not an exact contrast and comparison here, but it's kind of close. The catcher is the old man, the young kid, even though Rube Baker's not the top prospect, but still hilarious. Right. And I wonder if they did that kind of intentionally, because that's how Major League, maybe Sean, there's not a lot of Major League touches. That's what I would have liked to see in this, but that's just one.
Yeah, that either Major League would have been the one, you know. I would have hoped for maybe a little, Rookie of the Year, or maybe a little Angels in the Outfield reference, you know.
Well, you get kind of that.
yeah, a little bit. But what I loved here was there was some great setup here, because you have a very plausible suspect in Izzy. He's a young kid. He's taking the amphetamines there, and it just kind of gets mixed up. But now it's like, all right, look at Cal a little bit here too, because he's got some motive, right? He's got some, you know, was he trying to sabotage Izzy to try and take his spot?
Yeah, lay it down nicely, because he says he'll never get to the bigs with him in front of them. So that sets up the fact that, you know, even though they actually do get Izzy piss drunk, he pisses his pants in a field. They test it. Henry gets the test, but they find out there's nothing in it.
And the best part about this scene was like, because Sean had overheard Izzy talk about like pissing his pants. It hasn't been the first time, right? And the scene where when Izzy wakes up in the field, and he has no pants on, and he just goes,
"Not again!"
Like, it was fucking great. The fact that Henry goes, "Holy shit, this actually worked!" They were able to get a sample off the pants, but alas, no detection of greenies. So does this now put the emphasis square on Cal?
Yeah, it puts it on him, because it's actually really good motive. It's probably one of the more solid and plausible motives of anyone, really. But, you know, we kind of can feel that probably Cal isn't the guy, because we're only about like 20 minutes into the episode. So that's usually a good sign that it's not him. But I thought it was one of the stronger motives they played. And we get one of the greatest speeches that Sean's ever given when he confronts him as he's going up to the plate. You can do this, because I saw you write it down. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, this is tremendous. Yeah, so like Sean's like, he's crestfallen because he's got to confront his hero. So they're at the stadium. And again, it does not go well. And Sean is, you know, he's mustered up the courage here to tell, you know, his hero what he believes in. Because I believed in you, man. That's right. I believe in fresh tennis balls, the healing power of bunnies. Novels of Susan Sontag are something I'll never read. I believe in Crystal Light because I believe in me. I believe in the movies of Val Kilmer, although these days, it ain't easy. I believe in Darren Sproles, the word dabble, the first season of Silk Stockings, and big, warm, moist, gooey chocolate chip cookies that melt in your mouth and all over your face. And finally, that you secretly drugged Izzy so that you could steal his playing time, you son of a bitch. Like, the way that.
I also love the way Cal played it. He's like, well, that was a dumb speech.
Yeah, fantastic. Because he got all worked up about it. I love the crystal light line because I believe in me. And then the warm, gooey chocolate chip cookie that melts all over your face. Like, he was so impassioned and he just couldn't give a shit less. Because, well, you're fucking wrong, you know? Mm-hmm.
And that makes a pretty good point. If I was cheating, I wouldn't be still stuck in A-ball.
Yeah. Which is a good excuse, but like, amphetamines make sure you're jacked up. It doesn't mean you can still hit a fastball or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But so he's still the most plausible suspect, you know, at this point, but it really doesn't seem like it's him. This is, again, Gus is getting booed for trying to tap dance. And then he's like, and he falls down. And he starts doing the word and everyone cheers him. And now we get introduced to another character here. We get introduced to the GM and he's furious because earlier Izzy Jackson hadn't showed up on time. And so Cal was supposed to get the start at first base. But the GM says, I'm paying him a lot of money. So you better put him, you know, in this lineup. So Cal gets bumped back to catcher. Izzy gets the start because he's the star player. And I love this bit here because they had Sean as the hitting coach. And he's, you know, we don't get a lot of psychic visions and or callbacks with psychic flashbacks. But he's stealing signs. And I love it. And he gets a sign here. And Izzy's a fucking dong.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty good use of his talents. I was waiting for that to happen the first time that I, you know, saw this episode. And it's one of those things too where they always kind of put the genius in like the sports role, like in Criminal Minds, like Reed like rigs basketball pools or whatever. So it's always a nice little touch and it's a nice little thing to add to this. This is your favorite part though, where Gus hits the guy with the t-shirt cannon.
Smokes him right in the chest. It is fucking great. We need a new counter too. This is more of a challenge, actually, Billy. I want you from this point out, from now until not just the end of this podcast, but when we move on to Sirens and Suits and Franklin, I want you to make a Criminal Minds reference each episode.
I can try. It'll be like the Jobber Narca take a drink when me and Rossi did wrestling.
Yeah, I want that. I want that to happen. This was another great scene. So Sean's sort of grasping at straws here and he's trying to figure out, okay, if it's not Cal, who else on the team could possibly have it in for Izzy? Who would want to spike his water bottle? Because we still know that it was his water bottle that was spiked. So, you know, recalling back to the bar, Gutierrez, whatever Gomez, whatever the player's name was, he sees, you know, his wife making eyes with one of the out. So he just goes out there and he's like, oh, well, Izzy was sleeping with your wife. He's, well, no, actually, so-and-so was sleeping with your wife.
Yeah, it's the pitcher's wife that somebody else on the team is sleeping with, also possibly Izzy. So this creates kind of like the major league thing, I guess, where they get the mound visit and then everybody starts fighting each other. And I wish they had chose better announcers. I wish they had went like Bob Uecker-esque. Because they were like legit, just like they might have been real minor league broadcasters. They seemed pretty legit, but it was kind of funny because I don't think I've ever seen anything like this.
Right, and that's where we get the line: "I'm too old for this crap." Right, yeah. The famous, you know, substitute shit for crap. He called the shit poop.
Real quick. My favorite thing in Major League, one of my favorite things in Major League is like, looks like Willie Mays Hayes is trying to deck Rick Vaughn. No, try to hit Rick Vaughn. And why not? Everyone else in the league does. if they had like those, anytime there's an announcer, I always look for like pitch perfect, best in show. Just like, give me the over top, like dodgeball, you know. Dodgeball. Bold strategy. Let's see if it pays off.
Bold strategy, Cotton. Oh, you're making me want to rewatch. I don't think I've watched Major League in, let's see, I'm 41. I don't think I've watched that movie in like 25 years.
I watch Major League 2 like twice a year.
I love that. So, you know, we get a lot of chaos here back in the clubhouse. And what happens here is Mel's trying to address the team. Izzy's like, fuck this, I'm out. He leaves.
It's Friday night.
He's disrespecting his coach, Mel's pissed. He goes out to chase after him. The GM comes in. He looks at Sean. He says, "Who are you? I don't care. You're fired." This is the real hitting coach. This is where we get introduced to Wade Boggs. And this is where we get, you know, Gus, you know, he, you know, would eat chicken before every game, grilled or crispy or grilled. And the look Wade Boggs gives him goes, "Are you kidding me? Crispy."
And they're very impressed by it.
Yeah. All right. I respect that. So Sean's fired, right? As him and Gus are leaving, Sean wants to go find Mel and apologize. He, you know, he feels bad for kind of creating that big mess. And they don't find Mel, Billy, but what do they find instead?
Izzy Jackson dead.
Yeah, he did. He dead. And which now is
like fucking crazy, by the way, to kill a prominent, like, top first round pick minor leaguer in your episode is wild. Like, and I know it's like psych and like that's the point of it, but that's like one of the more prominent people that's probably been bumped off in one of these things, right?
Yeah, because it's usually like transplant list waiting people, you know. It's a bunch of just a bunch of regular steak and eggers, you know. Yeah. So this was big time. But we've got now Mel, who just flat out doesn't like Izzy. We got Mel, who stormed out in the locker room after Izzy. We now have a potential new suspect, and he seems pretty credible.
Yeah, it's when Sean puts together that, oh, here we go. So Agnes tags in, say goodnight. We're doing this a little bit earlier than normal, so this usually happens right at the beginning of the show. But we get Mel in the interrogation room here, and they're actually trying to put the screws to him, but you know, I don't think anybody really believes it was Mel.
Yeah. Henry does, but that's because he's pissed off.
Well, that's Henry because Henry's being a dink.
And Lassie and Gus, right? But Sean's like, I really don't think it was him. It doesn't make sense. And so, and this was one of the things here, because this is where we get a little bit of Detective Sean. He's like, well, wait, where was Izzy struck in the head? And the way he was struck as if, you know, a right-handed, batter, you know, that's the angle in which I would have struck him with. But we found out that Mel is more like a Wesley Sykes. He's a southpaw. And the only way he could have made that swing is with a backhanded swing, which would have been very awkward, and he wouldn't have had the force.
Yeah, but I hated that explanation by Henry, and even Sean called him out on it right away, which was good.
Yeah, well, because it added to the petulance of Henry there. But who do we get to save the day?
Cal.
No, Woody.
No. Oh, Woody, yes. This is actually, I completely forgot about the scene, actually.
Yeah.
It's great.
So they go down to the morgue, and so Sean, with the aid of Woody, is able to prove his hypothesis via watermelon. And
perfect substitute again, for the human head.
Yeah, and this is just classic weirdo Woody, which I love. Thank God I packed a watermelon for lunch. But he used a baseball bat and he absolutely smoked that thing. there's two things here. One, it sort of proved that Sean was right. It couldn't have been Mel, because Mel is just, he's old, first of all. And two, could he have swung a 35 ounce bat?
Yeah.
Right. Which was the bat, which was the murder weapon. And there's only one person on the team that does swing a 35 ounce bat. And we're circling back to Cal Lisa now as the suspect. So the guys go to Cal's house,
they find out he was called up to the show, and probably not him.
Oh, so this is why I fumbled, bumbled, and stumbled. They go back to the stadium first, and Cal's not there. His locker's been cleaned out.
Yes.
So it's like, oh, is he on the run? Is he on the lam? They go to Cal's house to confront him, and I love this here, because this sort of sums up who Sean is as a character. He goes there to confront Cal. Sees him packing up. He's like, you know, where are you going? And he goes, I got called up to the bigs. He goes, and you're back. And Sean gives him a big, I knew you could do it, man.
Kind of forgets that he's even a suspect here.
Yeah, right. And then he kind of goes, and we've lost him again, because then he goes back. And then so it's like this is back and forth of you're the suspect, you're not the suspect, which was great. And then Cal says something here. He's like, just always follow, you know, you got to follow the money, man. And that triggered something in Sean. Wait a second. Maybe this is not about playing time. Maybe this is not about one man's grudge against his player. Maybe it's about a GM who has given this guy way too much fucking money. And maybe he's not worth the hassle of his contract. And so Sean decides to follow the money, goes back to the stadium. They break it into the GM's office, which I love this little back and forth there with, you know, with the security guard, you know,
you hear about him in the,
yeah, because Sean has been banned from the stadium. So he dresses up as the mascot and the security guard goes, oh, hi, Mr. Guster. Oh, you hear about Pluto?
It's that's messed up, right? It's great. He finds the evidence that indeed the GM is behind this, because if he gets the contract, he can get the contract voided if he violates the drug policy.
Right. And so, and this was great too, because Sean's in there trying to be all sneaky as shit and he's just making a fucking racket. And so, and then like the, you know, yeah, so the contract becomes guaranteed, fully guaranteed for a large sum of money. And so Sean gets the hell out of there. People are, you know, chasing him around, but they just see the mascot. They see the seabird. So Sean's, you know, he's made his way in the blue getaway in the blueberry. He calls Gus, who's at the office, and he's like, yeah, so I got the information, but they might think that
good news, bad news.
Right. And then just as he hangs up, we see a gun sort of enter stage right pointed at Gus. And this is where we find out that, yes, it is the GM. This is the reveal. I wrote the owner here, but it's the GM who is the culprit of both spiking Izzy's water bottle and then eventually killing him, because he thinks that he could probably blame it on someone else. And I would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you.
Yeah, it was a little Scooby-Doo-ish. Sean shows up to kind of save the day, but he doesn't because he has a gun. So they bring them all back to the stadium.
Yeah,
was odd.
Yeah, why would you bring him back to the stadium? And so like this was the gripe that I had, right? Because you've got a guy who is willing to kill someone in broad daylight in the stadium, you know, where there's bound to be people afoot.
Witnesses.
Exactly, right? Then you bring the people back there, and then you've got him at gunpoint, and then you just decide to I'm gonna run away like a coward. And then we get maybe one of the great, like, Goldberg could learn how to spear from Henry at this stage in his life.
It was really good.
That was a good old man spear.
Well, yeah. Cal comes back too. Cal, I don't think, really needed to come back. I think that kind of distracted.
Why would he come back?
I think if
back?
Just Wade Boggs walked in, that would be perfect. Enough to, like, be like him, send him, oh, I can't kill Wade Boggs, send him running. I guess the four people makes him go away. But yeah. I do love that Henry fucking just tackles the guy.
It was great. It was such an old man because he, like, you know, he didn't quite tackle
walks
him.
Away.
He didn't quite spear him. He just sort of hit him with, like, the way someone would hit, like, a tackling dummy.
Yeah, he kind of, like, stood him up and threw him down.
Yeah.
And he knew he knocked him out because he just, like, walked right down the stairs.
Yeah, he just bang and just sort of, or Doyle rules, and then walked away. But yeah, like Cal, that was the other thing. Like Cal, like that didn't make sense. Oh, something just didn't sit right. And he came and no. He would have been in his fucking truck. He would have been up to Oakland so fucking fast, it'd make your head spin.
Yeah, that was a little odd. But
yeah,
it is a pretty solid case overall, I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it was like 95% really well executed, and that just sort of stumbled over the finish line. Just a touch to everyone. But when Boggs looks at Sean, goes, hey, you're the guy who stole my belt. Yes, I am. With the sweat shitting and grin on his face. I mean, I just stole Wade Boggs' belt too. But also, fuck Wade Boggs.
Yeah, he wasn't a nice guy, really. But the other thing I just thought of right now, too. You got fucking Corbin Burdenson. You got Roger Dorn.
Yes, holy shit, that's right.
You could have really played it up a little bit more, the major league stuff. Maybe nobody was really a major league fan, and Henry just, you know, had a little bit to do with it. But it would have been great if Henry was playing like third. or something, something like that. Give me something. But overall, yeah, it was pretty good. I do like the final scene there at the stadium where Wade Boggs is instructing him. And Henry's like, keep your elbow up. He's like, he doesn't need to keep his elbow up. His elbow fine. And they did do a nice job of the dun-dun-dun-dun-dun where Sean looked like he crushed it for a second, but then it was just like a short foul ball to
the
grandstands.
What was the announcer's name there with Trupiano? Way back! Yeah. Way back! Popped out foul. One of those. But what I love, too, is like the back and forth with Henry and Boggs and Sean goes, no offense, Dad, but out of the two of you, I'm going to listen to Wade Boggs. And he goes, I don't know why you would. He's been retired for 20 years. You know, it was like Paul Heyman the other day saying, you know, when Stephen A. Smith said, what about Bobby the Brain Heyman? He goes, psh, I'm better than him. He's dead. Like, absolutely fantastic. But I love that, like, Henry correcting, Wade Boggs there was just absolutely fantastic. And then what? Henry goes up there and he fucking pipes one. It's a fucking cock shot.
Yeah, he hits a couple, I think.
Yeah, but it was a great moment between Henry and Sean because we're starting to see them come together again a little bit more. Where something to the effect of the line is like, something about baseball just bringing people together, which baseball can do that. So, start to finish. You know, the case I thought was mostly good. Few little things, picadillos here and there, but overall enjoyed it. The comedy was good. We on that Thundercats. Ho, baby.
Ho.
Ho. Hop. Keep tonight.
You're warm. You're red hot.
We've already sort of talked about the opening scene there with Sean calling, Henry out at home. And then Grady's house, we talked about that as well with the chickpeas. And then, like, Gus is a mascot. But here, like, the last thing, Rodriguez's wife. That, like, it was so unnecessary. Like, you didn't need it at all.
It does give you the fight, though.
But it was fucking hilarious.
It was great. I do like it. And it does kind of, like, play like this. It happens. Apparently, it happened with the Patriots last season as well. There was a player getting around.
Patriots, the Bruins, you know. But what I love, too, is his wife just, walking away with the groundskeeper there at the end, or the guy, shuffling the peanut shells. It was absolutely fantastic. It just... and I got to tell you,
he needs a new lady.
Baseball broads, man. Wives and girlfriends of Major League Baseball players.
Wags. Are
top notch. Mm-hmm. Top notch. Any other scenes to you that stood out?
Nah, pretty much those ones. The opening softball scene is pretty fantastic.
Yeah. It really is. So least memorable moments, we just sort of talked about there, the GM, gives up way too easily, but the line of I can't shoot Wade Boggs was really good.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, just making a AAA team. I don't know why you
would. That would make a little bit more sense. It would give a little bit more juice, a little more pop, but hey, they went with what they went with, Billy, so we can only, critique them on that. So favorite character, I already tipped my hand, it was Henry. I still have a good head of hair on me, Billy, but
it is
starting to thin, just a smidge, but I'm on my way to full Henrydom. I mean, you've seen my shirts. Mm-hmm. I am there. I am 100% there. I mean, and I'm embracing it.
You've made it pretty far. My hair is starting to really thin there in the back, but what are you going to do? I'm going to go with Sean. I thought his physical comedy alone in this was pretty great. His line delivery was great. That speech was really good. He was just overall, I thought, a very Sean-y performance in an episode that wasn't a super psych episode. So I thought he kind of carried it there. The quotes... I definitely won't chew tobacco. That's murder on the gums. When he's like going through the things that he wouldn't do that Cal does is unbelievable. Yeah.
I won't grab my groin so much. That's just weird. Oh, yeah. Sounds like the coolest job ever. Not the actual birds, the baseball team. I am your coach, not the towel boy. I have my own windbreaker. I love
unbelievable.
That.
Really, man? You know all the pipe I laid just to be able to say that?
Right, absolutely love that. Oh yeah, why don't you try swinging without your gut looking so large?
That's unbelievable. that's such a mean one too.
Yeah, but it's definitely one like you would say to your old man, like when you're your busted chops, right?
That's pretty bad.
Maybe not your. I imagine Violet saying that to me one day.
Yeah, she could probably do it.
So let's wrap this Willy up. What do you say? Boom, boom.
Muffins.
See what I did there? Wrap your Willy. Your name's Billy. Never mind.
I got you.
Not a whole lot of like psych-isms or psychness in this. The pineapple was apparently there was a pineapple shot glass at the bar. No Gus nickname, but I do love this. Might be one of the best Gus don't be it, because it immediately gives you, like, you could pull this image up in your head. He says, Gus, don't be Pete Rose's haircut.
Yeah, and they've referenced it a couple of other times. I think it was the one with the guy who had like the split personality. There was like a Pete Rose poster in somebody's office. So
yeah,
that's a good reference there. What is your Henry moment of the year, father of the year, or Dick moment?
It was the spear at the end. That was fucking tremendous. It was absolutely tremendous. Because he just comes out of shot and bang, hits him like a sack of potatoes. That was tremendous. This wasn't huge with the references. Like, I remember the Friday Night Light one was funny because Sean couldn't come up with references because he was so behind the eight ball in that episode. Mm-hmm. But I love whenever they mentioned Snyder's of Hanover. You know, it's America's Always. Pretzel. Tito Jackson, Rod Carew, we get the lethal weapon reference. We get an OJ reference there. And then he did, it was actually a couple of references there buried in his speech. But pineapples, Billy, how many you shucking out for this episode?
6.3. It was good, not great. I really enjoyed watching it over and over again over the past couple of days, but it was definitely not, you know, the piece, the results that usually are psych episodes. Yeah. I think we got one of them coming next week, but that's sure next week. For this week, 6.3, like you said, meaty part of the curve.
Yeah, I went 6.5. I think this one had potential to be at least a 7. Had they, you know, buttoned it up, tightened it up just a little bit better there at the end. But This is a solid episode. This is not one I'm going to skip, you know. Mm-hmm. Like if I'm running through the season, we get to this one, I'm not going to skip this one. I'll let it ride, baby. So, with that said, my friends, as we wrap this thing up, come on son,
get that body with that ball. Come on son.
What do we got coming up next week, my friend?
Sean interrupted. Lisa, this episode's so good.
And I won't even begin to describe your behavior with the, you know, with the patients, you know, Gus, the orderly, and Frank.
Hello.
Oh, and when he gives the dude the fucking kettlebell and he can't, obviously can't hold it, he just drops it on his fucking episode's great.
Gus might get it too. And I think we get another Breakfast Club member in this episode, if I can remember it correctly. I think this is Molly.
Yeah, Ringwald's we get Molly episode. Ringwald. Yeah. And she's kind of a weirdo in this episode.
Super weird.
Like, I get, like, that's probably her character, but, like, I feel like her.
She also hadn't been on, I can't remember her being in or on anything around this time. Like, I don't remember her in anything but 80s movies. So,
yeah.
It was a good pull to get him there. Going to look forward to doing that one because that's one of my. Not all-time favorites, but it's what I'll put on every once in a while because I haven't seen it so often. It gives you a good chuckle.
Barring how Jacob ranks this one, it should be towards the front of the season, I'd imagine. So, with that said, Billy, where can the people find us?
They can find us anywhere you want on any podcasting platforms, but we're all on the Dork Shared Gooniverse Facebook page, so go check that out. We have other podcasts in the universe as well. Dork and Mac and Goo, The Namesakes, then TLDR, your other podcast with Nick Fryer, whose other podcast is Change My Mind, PCP, which is now a Scream podcast, The Streamers, and definitely shout out to Doc, who got his quote on a comic book cover.
I've got it right here. I've got it right here. Look at it. For those watching, I'll try and get it without the glare. But there it is.
The TLDR Comic Book Club. It's so good. An absolute home run.
Yep, Year Zero, Volume Zero from AWA Studios, written by Daniel Cross. We actually had him on the show not too long ago to talk about this and some of his other books. And so that was pretty fucking awesome. I'm not gonna
lie. Was that your quote or Fryer's quote?
That was my quote.
Yeah,
you can't put a Fryer quote on there because it's too many fucks, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. Anyways, love that. And Billy's cycling through some images here. So we're gonna wrap this up tightly here, folks. So until next week, wait for it.
Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah. Frank says hi.